Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I just want people to know we are in a fist fight down here. This is no conflict. This is a war. It's the haves against the have-nots. The people must take a stand. The people have to say enough is enough. When are we going to stand together against this evil, evil empire? We're fighting. We're fighting everything, the criminal justice system, the bankers, you name it, the government himself. We're dealing with these folks on a level that they've never been dealt with before. And the good part about it, we are winning some of these battles. Just recently, we put a recall in for our mayor. He's going down. He was also caught in a scandal. Yes, that's right. Whirlpool Corporation, who we are boycotting. And the key word when it comes to Whirlpool, boycott, boycott, boycott. We must boycott all their products. We must make sure they understand. They were funneling money through an agency, a group of black folks that were working against the people, and they got caught. Whirlpool is nothing but a bunch of gangsters. They're gangsters, bunch of thieves. They've been doing this to the people for a long period of time. But we must take a stand. Until we take a stand, we're going to continue to be in this compromising position. We will be fighting. We'll be fighting for everything that needs to be done. We need you right now to take a stand. The people must stand up and fight. Let's go for my TIs, my TI family. You must fight. And it's not all about you. If it's all about you, you are not going to get any help. So that's what it's all about. But we're here. And we're here standing up for the people. We want to make sure the people understand that we are for you. We're here. And we just want to thank everybody for just tuning in. But I'm going to bring in my good friend. Are you there? 734. Are you there?
Am.
How you doing today?
Oh, I'm okay. I just thought you might want to hear something that's on the website, bhbanco.org. And this is regarding a vote that was taken recently in Benton Harbor, Michigan. This can be read on the website, bhbanco.org. The headline is, "Did Whirlpool's Vote Yes Committee Act Illegally?" And that's a question that headline is asking. A special election was held on May 7th, 2013, for residents to vote on a millage, enabling the city to pay bills. The, quote, "Vote Yes," unquote, campaign succeeded. And it was funded by a $4,000 check written by Whirlpool CEO Jeff Noel. The committee was selected by Mayor James Hightower. This is the mayor of Benton Harbor. And emergency manager Saunders to work on this and to convince residents to vote yes. The campaign committee were Mayor Hightower, Emergency Manager Saunders, residents Minnie Sims, Cora Robinson, and Sharon Henderson. Here are the questions being asked about this committee. Did it register with the county or the state? Did the committee accept and spend over $500 on the campaign? What was the name of the committee? Paid for the Water Street campaign headquarters? Exactly how much money was collected and how much was donated? Were any monies left over? What bank was used and in what account were donations deposited? Who is the treasurer? Where is the financial campaign statement? How did the committee fund yard signs, radio, airtime, etc.? Since Whirlpool supported the yes vote, will the corporation use their power to prevent investigating these crucial questions? We want a complete investigation by the Michigan Secretary of State and the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. And the organization Banco will not rest until the pendulum of justice swings both ways. A formal complaint was filed on December 9th, 2013, I believe. And again, this was a vote to tax Benton Harbor residents to pay bills that the city owes. And it was voted in. And Whirlpool supported this with a $4,000 check. They helped the campaign win. I would imagine, Reverend Pinckney, you might have more to say about this. Let me just add one quick thing. If listeners would like to see a city that is going to have, well, let me say, a 20-ton armored vehicle was purchased by Berrien County, Michigan. This is the Sheriff's Department, and most of their activity is in the city of Benton Harbor. So Benton Harbor residents may very soon, or may have already seen, a 20-ton armored vehicle on the streets. And I don't know, I have not heard of this being driven around any other cities in the United States. Now, it may be. There may be other places that have this thing. But the only place I can imagine this would be in a very heavy war zone. But now, Berrien County, Michigan has a 20-ton armored vehicle. You can see a photograph of it, the one that was just purchased by the Sheriff's Department at bhbanco.org. That's B-H-B-A-N-C-O. But back to this, did the campaign committee act illegally? Some very good questions, and I'm wondering if you've got any answers yet.
Well, you know, here's the thing. That tank that they have purchased, that is the second tank. The other one holds about 25 to 30 people in it. This one, they say, only holds 6 people. It's a tank that they're going to be patrolling the streets of the city of Benton Harbor with. And this is what they're going to do. You can see a picture of it at bhbanco.org. Also, Whirlpool has intercepted, have influenced the election with money, and that's what they're spreading around the community. These corporations, we have to stand up against these corporations and let these people know there's a lot of black folks out here that also need to go down with these corporations. They are supporting these corporations, knowing that they're doing wrong, knowing that they're destroying our community, but yet and still, we still support these people. We support these people because we say we know them. Even if your mama is doing wrong, you need to step in because what they're doing is they're destroying our community. We have to take a stand. But on that note, I got to move on. I got to bring on my friends from Colorado, but let's listen to a little Martin Luther King. And we'll take you for there. I want to thank you so much for coming in and giving us that information. We need it. God bless you. I will talk to you soon. I would like to know, when are we going to be able to say that we're free? We're free at last. We're free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. It haven't happened yet, and I must confess, we're going to have to work hard. It's getting harder and harder. Right now, there's a group in Colorado, six people, that's in prison for a crime that was never committed. I know those people out there was there say they must have done something. That's why they always think they must have done something. Not so. Anytime the government wanted to come after you, they can get you. Especially if you don't have the money to hire an attorney. Especially if you're doing something that may help the people. We're dealing with people who has no respect for you, your community, your children, and the future of your children. I'm going to bring on Sam. Sam, are you there?
Sam, Reverend Pinkney. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. And also got your good friend Cliff. Cliff, are you there?
Yes, sir, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you for having us on.
Oh, you know what? It's an honor to have brothers who are willing to take a stand and fight for what's right. You know, I take my hat off to both of y'all and all the one, Olivia and everybody else. I think y'all doing a tremendous job, but the key word is getting the word out there. See, one thing for sure that a lot of people don't understand, a lot of people don't know about what's going on and don't know about this case. They heard it on my show, and I did get a few emails about people, and here's the question they kept saying. They must have done something wrong. That's what I get that so much, and it really burns me because I also was a victim of this system, but I whipped them. I spanked their butt because I know what to do. I know when you're up against this evil, wicked system that you have to fight. You have to fight, and you have to have people outside fighting. You can't fight by yourself. You have to have people from the outside, and you have people from the inside, and that's the only way that we're going to win this battle. But, Sam, I'm going to start with you, and Cliff, anytime that you want to cut in, you have my permission to do it. Well, let's start with Sam. Sam, talk to me.
Okay, yeah, Reverend Pinkney, since the last time we talked, and so, you know, for the listeners who may not be familiar with this case, this is a case, like you said earlier, of six gentlemen who are currently incarcerated in federal prison being accused of doing something wrong when the bottom line is they were running a legitimate business, developing a legitimate software for the government, and they got accused of running a scam. What it boils down to is that this is a debt collection case. It's a normal corporate debt collection case. Folks can find out more information about the case itself by going to – we got a couple of websites. One of them is www.a-justcause.com, a-justcause.com. And the other one is free, the IRP6. That's the number 6. Again, that's free, the IRP6.org. And Reverend Pinkney, you know, this is a situation where the six gentlemen, five are African-American, one white, and they have been incarcerated now for almost 16 months, sitting there waiting on an appellate court to make a decision on the appeal. There are several things that are currently under appeal, one of which is a Fifth Amendment violation that occurred during trial. And Reverend Pinkney, I don't know if we talked about this the last time on your show, but we found out that the judge and the court reporter deliberately omitted 200 pages of the transcript. Those 200 pages of the transcript would substantiate the argument as far as the Fifth Amendment violation. Now, we, as a Just Cause, we have filed a lawsuit against that court reporter, Darlene Martinez, and we have attorney Mark Garagos, and folks, I'm sure, familiar with that name. Attorney Mark Garagos is working with us on that so that we can get those 200 pages and get these men released. We also have a petition out on change.org to push Attorney General Eric Holder to release or investigate the situation surrounding those 200 pages. Now, if Cliff would join in and kind of share, you know, how this situation about the Fifth Amendment violation came about and how we, you know, got to the situation where 200 pages of a transcript are missing.
What happened, Reverend Pinckney, is that on the prosecutor Matt Kerr, she's assistant U.S. attorney up there in the Denver attorney's office, and what happened is he said he was going to take about 3 weeks to put on his case. Well, he ended his case in about a week and a half, and so when it was time for the defendants to put up their witnesses, I mean, obviously, you know, you have to set schedules. A lot of their witnesses were coming from the East Coast, from places, you know, like Department of Homeland Security and New York Police Department, which were, the people they were working with as far as that were going to be customers and clients. And so they had to rearrange these schedules and say, hey, you know, Judge, he's ended his case, assistant U.S. attorney's ended his case a week and a half early. We need to be able to reschedule. So what we're going to try to do is get the people who are local, we're going to try to get them as our witnesses before, you know, the other ones can get rescheduled. Well, when they start trying to say, hey, we need to change these schedules, they're subpoenaing the witnesses. Even one of their witnesses at Colorado Bureau of Investigation, he was one of the witnesses there. When it was time for him to come to the stand, he just stayed at work. And like, you know, well, you know, I'm at work right now. I don't know if I'm coming. And you know, anybody who knows anything about being in court, if a witness that has been subpoenaed properly does not show up, it is the judge's position to tell that witness, you need to get in court or I'm gonna say that you're in contempt, have the U.S. Marshals come to wherever you're at, pick you up and drag you down to the courthouse and either put you on the stand or put you in jail. Well, Judge Christine Arguello, she didn't do that. She began to admonish the defendants and tell them it's your position, it's your responsibility to get your witnesses here. It's like not when we've subpoenaed them and we told them the court needs them here at this time and they don't show up. Now it's on the court's responsibility to get these witnesses here. So this went on like for a couple days. And when it came to the point where there weren't any local witnesses for the defendants to call, the judge tells them, at a sidebar conference, either you're going to have a witness, either you're going to present a witness on the stand, or one of you will take the stand, and if you don't, I will close your case for you. So right there, that's their Fifth Amendment right being violated, that you're forcing me with the threat of closing my case to get on the stand. What Attorney Mark Garrigo said is that, you know, the judge put these men in a situation where, okay, Do we not take the stand and basically throw away our Fifth Amendment right that the Constitution gives us, or do we say we don't take the stand and then the judge closes our case? So, you know, if they're caught between a rock and a hard place, the way he put it, and he said even in his 31 years of practice, he's never seen anything like this. So what happens is the judge basically tells them you're going to take the stand. One of them takes the stand, basically pleads the Fifth, and it causes this whole thing, you know, that the judge is up in a ruckus. And then once they recessed and kind of hashed things out, the judge will not release that 200 pages of the transcript that shows where she said, where she told them you're going to testify. And obviously, you know, that was one piece. But when we found in the transcript that the judge and this Darlene Martinez, the court reporter, were talking back and forth and saying, yeah, there's about 200 pages missing, it's like, so what else is missing in that transcript that you don't want the public to know? These are things that are against the law, against the Constitution, against the Court Reporters Act that says that a court reporter has to deliver the original notes, the entire transcript of those court proceedings, and they have to be available to anybody in the public for no less than 10 years. She has still not turned them in, and that is why, and as a just cause, we paid her personally to provide the transcribing of her original notes of originally what happened, because, you know, they take it in shorthand and things of that nature. So we said, we're paying you. We want you to give it to us. You have 200 pages missing, and so that's why we're suing her for those 200 pages. And the issue, another issue with this, is that not only has she not provided it, but when a just cause sued her, now the U.S. Attorney's Office is trying to represent her as a layperson, just anybody in the public, they're trying to represent her. When does the U.S. Attorney's Office represent a normal citizen? That's not what they're there for. So our thing is, what are you guys trying to cover up? What are you trying to hide that you're trying to put Darlene Martinez under your umbrella?
Mm. You know, here's another idea. You got really one of the great attorneys. I mean, I would love to have him on my side. I think that after this, you should go out to the judge too. I know that's a something really. I mean, that if you want publicity, that would get you more publicity than anything else. Even if you don't intend on doing it, at least put that out there that you're thinking about it. You know, because
Reverend Pinckney, if this thing goes to trial, it will be a situation where everyone involved would more than likely end up having to face the music, so to speak, because, you know, there will be a potential that anyone that was in that courtroom could potentially be a witness and be called on the witness stand. So, you know, that remains to be seen, and we will definitely keep you updated on how this thing progresses.
Absolutely. Matter of fact,
one thing I want to address really quick before we go, and I know you got to go to another segment. You opened this segment by stating that you received emails and phone calls and so forth from some of the listeners who, after the previous segment, about a month or so ago, that they say, well, these guys must have done something wrong. And, you know, unfortunately, that is the attitude of a lot of people in this country when it comes to the wrongly convicted. You know, Reverend Pinckney, we have been fortunate enough now, conservativenationmedia.com, and then another gentleman by the name of Scott Osborne, and on Conservative Nation Media we got Duke Brooks. They actually made it possible for A Just Cause to have an internet radio show, and then we're also working on a 24/7 radio network on Live 365. Now, you know, we talk about the injustice in this country, and we talk about all the wrongful convictions, the wrongful incarceration, you know, people sitting on death row who never did anything, and they finally get exonerated after, you know, 20, 25, 30 years in prison. So to those folks who say that these guys must have done something wrong, I would suggest that you go out, and we have another website. I know I just threw out two of them, but we have another website, and it's called ajcradio.com. AJC, obviously, is A Just Cause. So ajcradio.com. We have a whole listing of folks on there who have been guests on our radio program who were wrongly convicted and spent 20 years or more in prison and talked about the atrocities of their case. These men, who a lot of them were only, they were African-American teenagers, some of which were part of the Central Park Five. We also honored Herman Wallace, who was part of the Angola Three. And you have people all over this nation who were wrongly convicted. And I'm sure people walked into that courtroom and looked at them and probably said, oh, yeah, because they're sitting there, they must have did something wrong. Reverend Pinckney, we had a guest. His name is Lamont Banks. He was exonerated. He stated that his defense attorney stated when he walked into the jury pool room just before jury selection, there were about 60 people in this jury pool. Lamont Banks' defense attorney asked the question of this jury pool, how many people in this room think that because Mr. Banks is sitting in the defendant's chair that he must have done something wrong? Every hand went up in that room. Now, that's not the way our system should work. Unfortunately, Mr. Banks spent 7 years in prison. He was after a wrongful conviction. Now, he has since been exonerated. So for the people who are saying, yeah, the IRP6, they must have did something wrong, they need to check themselves. They need to go out, check the facts, go to ajustcause.com, go to Free the IRP6, and look at the record, listen to our program, and if you dig deep, you will find that in the IRP6 case, first of all, their court-appointed attorneys were not working for them. They were working against them. They were trying to set them up. Secondly, the judge and the prosecutor in this case would not allow expert testimony, which would have clearly exonerated the IRP-6. As we just talked about, there are 200 pages of transcript which are missing, which will exonerate the IRP-6. There was evidence that the company was a legitimate company and developing viable software, conducting regular business. That was not permitted in court. So, again, to those listeners who are naysayers or who want to say that, hey, maybe the IRP-6, they did something wrong, again, check yourself. You need to check the facts. And, you know, it's not a point of argument. It's just a thing that, you know, unfortunately people have been brainwashed to think that just because you've been accused of something, and Reverend Pinkney, you've been there, so you understand where I'm coming from.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because you've been accused of something doesn't necessarily mean that you are guilty.
Absolutely. And, you know, the biggest thing that happened to me, I spent 6 months in the county jail and 4 months in the prison system. And before they tossed it out and realized that they made a mistake, a big mistake. And I've been just rubbing it in their face ever since. I've been showing them.
And, you know, Reverend Pinkney, I got to give a shout-out to Mary Neal down there in Atlanta. Mary Neal is one of your loyal listeners and one of your supporters, and she's become a supporter of A Just Cause. And she's called into our program and given some, you know, very good information and shared some good information about, you know, wrongful convictions and mass incarceration, that type of thing. And so, again, I got to give a shout-out to Mary Neal and all those folks who are actually supporters of A Just Cause and supporters of the IRP-6, because I know that there are a lot of your listeners who have responded positively, mm-hmm. and that's evident in the responses that we have gotten after being on your program and also, you know, to a previous petition that we had. So I got to keep, you know, we're pushing right now, Reverend Pinkney, on this 200 pages of transcript. And if any of your listeners have any connections with, you know, with someone who might have connections with Attorney General Eric Holder, you know, we need Attorney General Eric Holder to exercise his authority in this situation. He can look into this situation where we have 200 pages of transcript missing in the IRP-6 case in Denver, while we have, you know, six gentlemen. We're coming up on another Christmas, and these men will be away from their families. Their children are involved. You know, this is a thing that needs to end.
Absolutely.
And also, Reverend, you know, to add to what Sam said about those listeners who said, you know, they sent emails saying that the IRP-6 must have done something. What they have to realize is when you have cases like this, and these cases are done in federal court, and when they get these guilty verdicts and the public just lets it go, is that these now can be used as case law. They now can be used as cases that set precedents. So when the government comes after you for the same type thing, that they can say, well, in this case with IRP-6, we convicted them, and it's you know, they're still in jail for it. They can come after you the same way. They have to understand how they came after these guys. This is a debt collection case. So you have a small business who went into debt. And the federal government is saying they never intended on paying that debt, and that is where the crime is at. So you're telling me that if you took out a credit card, you took out a car loan, you take out a mortgage, then you fall on hard times, you lose your job, you're not making as much money as you want. I mean, we've all been affected by the economy. Then now the federal government is going to come to the people who are in foreclosure or who had their car repoed and said, because you did not pay those bills, we are going to say that you never intended to, that your whole scheme, your whole mindset from the time you filled out the paperwork was that you were going to drive these people's car for free, you were going to live in this house for free, you're going to spend up their credit card on things that you wanted and you never intended to pay, and now they're calling that a federal crime of wire fraud and mail fraud because they sent you an application in the mail and you responded sending some of your payments in the mail. So now they call that mail fraud. They call it wire fraud if you talk to somebody on the phone and say, it's my intention to pay you, I just don't have means right now. So they're saying, they're taking that conversation and say, no, you're lying about it, you don't intend to pay them. And now that they're saying that's a conspiracy to commit
a federal crime because it's wire fraud and mail fraud, and they can lock you up for that. And that's what the listeners got to understand. When the federal government says they can indict a ham sandwich, they are not playing. That is not just a catchphrase. They,
and Cliff, to add to that also is the fact that then when you are in the court system and into the proceedings, they can manipulate the proceedings to ensure that you do not have an opportunity to present the adequate evidence and the adequate witnesses who can help to substantiate your case. And in turn, they can put witnesses on the stand and protect them and have them lie. And even in the IRP 6 case, there were many witnesses that the prosecution put on the stand, but the IRP 6 proved them out to be liars. And the technical term is that they impeached them. They proved them out to be liars. But once the prosecutor starts painting this particular image of you, and manipulating the system, then you're at the mercy of the jury. I mean, we have found out since that there are jurors who were sitting on that in that jury of the IRP 6 who have actually stated that if they had known some of the information that they know now, they would have come back with a different verdict. So, you know, this thing is, and as Cliff was kind of alluding to, and you say, you made it so accurate, stated it so accurately earlier, Reverend Pinckney, is that this kind of thing can happen to you at any time. This could happen to anyone at any time. And so you need to stand up, get involved, because just because it's not happening to you does not mean that it can't happen to you. And don't wait until it does happen to you or someone in your family before you decide to get involved.
Absolutely. And one thing I learned, too, we usually don't react until something happened to us specifically. Then we want to fight. And it's too late.
Exactly.
I travel all over the country. I talk to people. Just this past week, I've been to New York, Rhode Island. I've been to Detroit. Just got back from Detroit last night. There was a storm. But my job is to spread this word for you. In my presentation from now on, I'm going to include the R6 for you. And what I want you to do, I want you to send me a little something that I can put on my website, my blog. I don't, you know, don't, not a whole lot, maybe a half a page or something like that that I can put on there. And then when I go places, I can refer to that, the people to look at it. I can do that for you. Also, we like maybe twice a month you come on the show, and let's keep spreading the word so people can understand how serious it is. A lot of people understand that if I support this, it's got to be almost right. Because everywhere I go, people goes to my website. And that's what they refer to. Matter of fact, they listen to the show from the website rather than going to Blog Talk Radio themselves, which I don't even know why. I got it on my blog for that reason, but they rather go to my blog site and listen to the Blog Talk Radio than any place else. So moving in.
Reverend Pinckney, we truly appreciate the support that you're giving. We appreciate you having us back on the program. And, you know, we visit the IRP 6 every week. And we give reports on the things that are going on. Just to, you know, keep the men encouraged. You know, we are absolutely sure that through the efforts of you and others, that the men, like you say, the word is going to get out there. The men will be exonerated, and they will be home soon. We believe that with everything within our being. But I just have to say that we truly appreciate the support that you've shown. We will get something out to you so that you can get it posted on your site. And we just appreciate everything.
Hey, listen, you know, Cliff and Sam, I appreciate you, both of y'all, out here fighting like this, because most of the time, like I said, we don't fight unless it happens directly to us. Then
right.
We want to fight. It's too late. This is the reason why I'm on the radio. This is why I travel all over the country. I try to encourage people that you have to start fighting now. I mean, whatever your issue is my issue, you see? And this is what I tell my T.I. family, too. Your issue is my issue. My issue should be your issue. Then we become a team. That's the
exactly.
only way we're going to win this battle. But listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and then I got to move on. But go right ahead. Give your website out. Let people know how they can get in touch with you. Let's take this thing to a whole different level.
All right. So, again, we got a petition out there on change.org, change.org. We're pushing to get Attorney General Eric Holder to take some action on this. So put in IRP 6 in the search on change.org. And then for additional information, you can come to freetheirp6.org, freetheirp6.org. Check out our radio schedule on ajcradio.com, ajcradio.com. We give a lot of information out on that, and we take callers there as well, Reverend Pinckney. We'll have you on our show. Call in sometime. And
I will be.
Cliff, you got something you want to add to it?
We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
right.
Reverend Pinckney, I just want to add that, you know, like I said earlier, people have to understand that just because this is not happening to you right now does not mean that it does not apply to you. This applies to all of us. If you go in debt and the federal government feel like they just want to come after you, they can use that. And we do not want to allow something like this to say, hey, this is what they can come after us for because we weren't able to pay bills on time. I mean, we all have to pay our bills, absolutely. But if we fall on hard times and something happens and our intention was never to defraud somebody, should not be locked up for that, and especially when there's missing pieces of your transcript. Mark Garrigo said that, you know, that in his 31 years of practicing law, he has never seen anything like this, where you can have 200-plus pages of a transcript missing and people spending time in prison. You're talking about 16 months, and I don't even have my transcript to fight my appeal? That is not right. It needs to be dealt with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just want to say that, you know, that we can win this battle, you know, if we work together and show them strength that we have in the people. See, the best resource we have is the people. We don't
That's
have,
right.
We can't beat them financially, but if we have enough people supporting us on this issue, we can force them to do something. Just like Lynn Stewart, how we have rallied around her. This gives us an opportunity to take this thing to a level that has never been on before. And
yes.
I am more than happy to be part of this fight. And I tell you this, I will do whatever I can, and we will take this thing to a whole different level, and let's see what happens.
All right. Hey, Reverend Pinckney, and just to keep the guys in prayer, you know, call them by name, David Banks, Gary Walker, Demetrius Harper, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, and David Zappolo. And so if folks would keep them in prayer, you know, prayer works.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, can you call their names one more time for us?
That's David Banks, Gary Walker, Kendrick Barnes, Demetrius Harper, Clinton Stewart, and Dave Zappolo.
Very good. Very good. Listen, I will be talking to y'all soon. Send me that information. Allow me to put it on my blog, and we'll take it from there.
Thanks
right,
for everything.
Thank
Have
much,
a great
sir.
Afternoon.
All right. Take care of you. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Okay.
All right. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed. I know about corruption in the courts and papers missing. Sounds
yes.
familiar to me.
That's why I brought you on next. Because a lot of times people don't believe it happens. Unfortunately,
it happened. They targeted them. Our government's disgusting. Look at how they went and they killed bin Laden. We've got the doctor in Pakistan in jail who helped us. It's, you know, the people who voted for Obama, they are getting it now. Just, it's terrible what's happening. But these men have been targeted. We know about that. Remember my papers in court were missing? Look at
Absolutely.
How they went after Dr. Richard Fine.
Absolutely. They went after, that's Richard Fine. He was an attorney. He was a fine attorney, an excellent attorney. And when he started challenging the judges, they went after him.
Right, exactly. And they've gone after these men. They haven't done anything. It's just the corruption here today. We all have to speak up.
Absolutely. We have to speak up. My good friend Edward, I was going to bring him on next, but unfortunately he had checked out for a moment. But look, Roz, I want to go to Edward right now, but can I come back to you and right before the end of the show?
Yes, you can. I want to talk about LAUSD and UTLA and how we all have to stand up. And like you say, there's more of us than them.
Absolutely. And we need to learn that. It's more of us than them. And that's our resource, each other. We have to build on that. And once we start building on that, we got them just where we want them. And I tell you, we should not put this, stop battling them. Because I tell you, they bringing tanks into our community. Little bitty Benton Harbor. Not one tank. They got two tanks.
I mean,
one
I wonder what...
Look, one can hold more than 25 people. They can put 25 armed soldiers in one tank. They're going to be patrolling our streets. The other one, they can only put six, but it has the big guns on it. It said that can reach up into the high-rises. We really don't have any high-rises here, but they say it could reach to the high-rises. But look, I got to bring on Elwood. I got to let you go, but I'm going to bring you back at the end of the show so you can talk to us and tell us everything, okay? And I promise
okay.
you I'll have plenty of time for you.
Okay.
All right, Riley. Love you, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, my good friend Edward, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you today? Great. I'm just taking it one step at a time. Talking about our system. You know how it works.
I'm going to tell you what I know, okay? You asked me to talk about FEMA camps and the 3,876 FEMA camps with crematorium and gas chambers in them and the 30,000 guillotines that they brought into this country that everyone's not recognizing, and everybody's up against this nonsense. But here's what I want to talk about right now since I heard your show. The man that was just on the show needs to call me. I need these people's numbers. I already called Roz and told her that all foreclosures are illegal. She doesn't need to short sell a house. It's all a lie. And I can show her what to do and the paperwork to file. I've got one of my friends been in his house for 9 years and hasn't paid his mortgage. The truth is that all foreclosures are illegal. And when you got a man that's in jail and a judge missing 200 pages, you need to make up a criminal affidavit signed, handed to the judge. If he wants to give it to the district attorney, you tell him no, Your Honor. If I wanted to hand it to the district attorney in the first place, I would have. I want that to go to the grand jury. If not, I'll go to the grand jury myself. I have the right to go to the grand jury. I studied law for many, many years. I studied foreclosures for over 10,000 hours. But you need to have these people call me, and I'll show them what to do, how to W-9 the lawyers and the judges. And if they don't give you their tax information so you can take down their bonds, then you 3949A them. And I have other people to help them as well that are actually experts on this situation, and they need to stop pussyfooting around with the judges and the lawyers, who are imbeciles, actually. It is not what you think it is. The courtrooms are the most corrupt organizations in the country. Them and the bankers and the government are all one entity. And by the way, the district attorneys have the right to make up charges against you and put you in jail and cannot be held liable for it. It is up to you to tear them down. You have to know your law, and nobody studies law. They're too busy watching football games and listening to a bunch of nonsense, whatever, whether it be their rap music or some other kind, instead of studying. They don't study medicine, and they don't study law. Now, what I do is I reverse people's dysfunctional health. I take people who have pneumonia and get rid of it in less than 24 hours, and I teach this to doctors and practitioners that are willing to learn. And the ones that are willing to learn become my friends and keep their open door so I can talk to them about every type of health issue there is in this world, which is reversible without pharmaceuticals, okay? I'm on other radio stations, and I enjoy helping people and having them call me back and saying, thank you. You saved my life. You saved my mother's life. You helped me out of a situation that I couldn't possibly understand. Now let's get to the FEMA camps. Oh, by the way, you're still there.
I'm still here.
Okay. They set up 3,876 FEMA camps in this country with barbed wire on the inside. They call them re-education camps. Do you know what they're planning to do with them? And they brought 30,000 guillotines into this country, brand new. I have whistleblower files. I've known about it for 5 years, but I couldn't tell my family until I came and buried one of my sons that they forced on medications from the time he was 10 years old. Did you know that the government was paying all the school systems $500 a month per child to get them to put him on drugs and force the parents to put him on drugs? You know what they told his mother? They told her, if you don't send that child to school, when she said, I just won't send them to school if you're going to make them take drugs. and they said, we'll have you arrested. And she believed them. The problem is they bulldoze you and they bully you, and this is what they do. So do the judges. Well, the let me tell you something. When she came in and showed me this 2 years ago, a whistleblower file that I had already known that they brought in 10,000 guillotines, but truck drivers that were stopped by police and made to open their trucks with witnesses behind them, and it's full of brand-new guillotines. What the hell are they doing with 30,000 guillotines in the United States and 100,000 boxcars going into 600 of the FEMA camps with railroad cars going into them with shackles in them and guillotines in them? And I can show you, if anybody calls me, I can show you the files that show aerial photos of ones like in Arizona. And by the way, those are secret, unregistered camps because Arizona does not permit death by guillotine, so they're not able to register them in the state of Arizona. They're huge, and they hold huge amounts of people, and you should see all the pits right alongside them where humans get to stand in, and one light over the slab with a guillotine at the end. You got to see this for yourself. This is what we're up against. If people don't wake up now, you won't be able to wake up. They'll put you to sleep permanently unless you become a snitch for them in their FEMA camps. And believe me, when the food runs out because they crashed the dollar, everyone will be in these camps. They'll hold probably 50 to 100 million people while they're putting them all to death. And they have no intentions of doing it nicely either. They will rape, plunder, and murder them all in these FEMA camps and underground as well. They have huge underground facilities going from the Ozarks, 1,400 miles through Washington all the way up to Maine, and tractor-trailer after tractor-trailer going into them every day, supplying billions of dollars worth of supplies for the elitists. They have no intentions of helping us. They don't even restore our infrastructure in this country. Did you ever wonder why they don't bother restoring it, that China has the most amazing infrastructure, bridges, tunnels, the most amazing cities in the whole world? It far surpasses ours. Ours are old and decrepit because they're taking the money and bleeding the country dry until they put it all into martial law and put all the citizens in re-education camps, which are actually FEMA camps, for the end game where they plan on putting everybody to death, okay? And this is not a joke. I'm not making this stuff up. I've studied it for years. Now, what you need to do is take charge of your health. This is what I do. I help reverse stage 4 cancer, which is a death sentence. They're lying about everything. Your American Moron Association, which is the ones that the Rockefeller set up, educates all the doctors in cotton poison medicine. Dr. Berry told me that before, when he graduated from, what's the name of the great, okay, it'll come to me in a second. When he graduated from the number one school in the country and got his doctorate in medicine, he wanted to finish his studies in China for his martial arts. While he was over there, he attended a university and got another PhD in medicine. Then he got another one in medicine, ended up with 9, 6 of them in medicine. He told me that the doctors in this country, Harvard graduates where he graduated from, don't know nothing, and they have sticks up their butts and you can't even pull them out. They won't discuss your health with you because they consider you a moron. You're not worth talking about your health. Just take this pharmaceutical. And by the way, if it's bothering you, we'll give you another pharmaceutical. They are the hookers for the pimps that own the pharmaceutical companies. And if you want to see the tricks, look in the mirror, okay? You're it, Ted. If you believe that doctors are here to help you, you've got another case. If they cure anybody, if they ever cure anybody, they're kicked out, regularly, they're kicked out of the AMA. They don't want doctors curing anybody. And if you don't recommend chemotherapy and radiation, the gynecologists will not get any referrals and they're out of business. Even though 3 out of 4 doctors surveyed will never take radiation or chemotherapy or give it to any of their family because it's the biggest lie they have ever perpetrated on our brothers and sisters. And 100 years from now, they'll look back and see how barbaric these animals were that imposed a medical system on our people that looks like this. If you people are foolish enough to take their drugs with all those side effects and don't even have the curiosity to look up the side effects, and you want to put garbage in your body in order to supposedly do something about the health issue you have, when you can do this simply and naturally. I have been helping people for years get rid of every type of dysfunctional health situation, because your body will return to normal homeostasis once you get out the toxins, heavy metals, radiation, unwanted bacteria, and I know several ways of doing that and re-energizing the body simply, inexpensively, easily. And I will welcome anybody who needs any help in any of the areas I was talking about. Would you like me to focus in on any particular situation, Reverend Pinkney?
Well, here's what you got definitely got my attention about that chemo.
Okay.
I know several people that the doctor recommended they take that chemo for breast cancer. And if they didn't take it, they claimed that they was going to die. They call it stage four.
That's just the opposite of what the truth is. Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital is the number one cancer protocol hospital for the world. Two of the men on the board of directors for 60 years have owned the chemotherapy companies and blocked Coley's therapy from 1898 and Laetril. And what they did, because they're taking in $106 billion with a B, like in billion, did I say, a year, and they're buying the U.S. Congress. Did I tell you that we have the best government money can buy? For $3 billion only, you can own both the Democratic and Republican Party for 12 months. Does anybody have any spare change? And we can make a change in this country. Otherwise, I wouldn't get in a room with a gorilla and try to wrestle with him. We're not here to make war on any country, and we're going to peaceful settlement. As two-leggeds, we have the right of self-determination to form our own government as the 55 original that signed that contract. And by the way, if your ancestors didn't sign that contract, you are not privy to the Constitution. You do not have any rights under the Constitution. That is why they're able to do all of these things in the courts. In the Van Nuys courts, I know for a fact I have all the files. By the way, let me back up. On Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital, the two men that are on the board of directors taking in $106 billion a year, I have doctors like Dr. Ralph Morse that blew the whistle on him. I have all the files. Everything is saved. I have amazing files that will prove to you that, and they're riveting. You've got to be sitting down when you read them, because you will never, ever take chemotherapy or radiation. You will never get mammograms again. The mammograms are what's causing the cancer. They have such amount of radiation, it's unbelievable. If you want to check on a lump, which usually goes away anyway, do a thermogram. If you do Coley's therapy, which they're practicing in China now, where you heat up the body, 50% of all breast cancer is gone. The other goes away without even doing that, okay? As soon as they find a lump, which they give you free tests and mammograms now, that's how they pick up another 1,000 patients out of 10,000 people, and now they've got how much more money coming in? The doctors are only paying $4,000 for the chemotherapy, and they're reselling it for $12,000. How do you think they're making their money? If they don't cut and operate and threaten you to go in for open-heart surgery the next day, another biggest lie they're telling you, all of that stuff is reversible, Dr. Pinkney. All you have to do is read Nathan Pritikin's book, The Pritikin Promise. I read it in 1994, 28 Days to Better Health, and the man reversed every single needed five-way, three-way bypass. He had an 86-year-old woman by the time she was 94, winning the marathons in her category, and she never got the bypass. He just had them start walking and change their diet. It's simple. Everybody needs to wake up and smell the sauce. They're lying about even how much water you should take. How can every single person take 8 glasses? By the way, is it coming across too loud? Am I talking too loud?
No, you're doing great. Matter of fact, I'm loving it.
How can the average person take 8 glasses of water and it's the same for everybody, when a 395-pound person and a 95-pound person, why aren't they telling the truth about anything? Everything that they've told us is a lie. The whole history of this country is a friggin' lie. And if people don't wake up right now, they're going to stay asleep permanently because they're going to put them all to sleep, anybody that's a threat anyway. People like you and I, they throw us in jail. Did you know how to get people out of jail using the bid bond, the settlement bond, and the payment bond? It doesn't matter what they were charged with. They're all monetary charges. And everybody in jail is bonded out and securitized just like the mortgages. That's what upholds the dollar in the yen. Am I giving you some information that you're throwing out?
Oh, you're giving me great information. You're great on that, but one of the things I do want to talk about, I got my good friend Roz. We need to talk about how we're going to be able to save her home. And
I had her call me back, but she had to call you the other day. She said, I have to call him, and she never called me back. If she'll listen and do what I tell her to do, she can stop them from forcing her to short sell her house. See, they cannot, once they do a foreclosure, we're focusing on that right now. Okay, whatever you want me to focus in on, I'll focus in on. Once they do a foreclosure, they cannot get title insurance anymore. So anybody that buys that house cannot get title insurance because they're all illegal. Without the deed and the promissory note in one, the trustee has no right to even foreclose. So he's doing it illegally too. I go after the chicken by breaking the neck. There's the man that is doing the illegal things, and you break the neck. But there's a better way. There's other ways. I file documents, and they don't come after you anymore again anyway. The courts are so corrupt that all the judges in Van Nuys own the Van Nuys courts. They're huge, huge buildings, and they lease them out to the county. Since 1960, they've been funneling money down to room 119 downtown using the EIN number of the county. They told me to take a breath in between. Hold on. Okay, now, they've been buying watches, and they've been taking trips. There is no accountability for the money that's taken into the courthouses. Judge Farrell, one of the ugly guys, pardon me,
About. Go right ahead.
Okay, Judge Farrell owns those companies. When they send you to marriage counseling because you were having, you know, fighting or this or that, and it costs thousands of dollars. He owns them all, and so do all the other judges. They are totally corrupt. If they put somebody in jail, they can legally, under their laws, which has nothing to do with our understanding. That's why we must govern ourselves, and we must work with the right individuals. I'll explain it all to you sometime calmly and easily. We don't want to go to war. We want to go to peaceful settlement, and we want to have treaties for our nation, which will be filed with the Family of Nations, and I'm doing this with somebody that's already filed two new nations in this world, and he knows how to structure everything direct to the international ledger. He knows international banking and treaty law, and he actually is in contact with heads of state all over the planet and doesn't need a passport to go to any country. You just pick up the phone, call the head of state, and they invite you in. You don't need a passport once you're invited in, okay? Things are not what you appear to be. Everybody is just going in the dark. People are talking nonsense and passing along nonsense to each other because they've never been educated. We've gone to the dumbed-down public fool system that doesn't even teach you to read. I've actually seen a man that can read 40,000 words a minute. Now, we were never taught that because they don't even want us to learn what was the way that they were teaching people to read years? Okay, let's talk about Roz. Do you want to talk about Roz? Okay. The way to protect yourself is we file some documents on them, and you put them through properly. You don't even really need a notary, but you can get a notary. Two signatures over the age of 18, witnesses to your signature in common law, takes the place of a notary. But in their case, we'll just get it notarized, send it off, registered with, a server over the age of 18, not having anything to do with your case, sign the paperwork so you can prove it was cert, and you make certain demands on them that they cannot actually come up with. It's not possible, and they just back off. Then they try it again later on. You go after them again. If they play games with you, you go after to break the neck, okay? And you go after the lawyers or the judges. It really doesn't matter. Take away their bonds, they won't be able to practice law or be a judge. Now, when I ran into the professor, and he taught me that he teaches the professors he teaches the judges when they go from a lawyer to become a judge. That's when they want him to, he teaches them contract law, UCC, admiralty law, maritime, common law, treaty law, because they don't know anything but statute law. Because if they had learned any of that, they could have run their own nation. They don't want the lawyers in this country to be able to run a nation. They just want them to be subservient, and they don't want doctors to cure anybody, the pharmaceutical companies. It is Rockefeller that set up the AMA and stopped the homeopaths from being able to get in it, or the naturopaths, rather, the homeopathic medicine and naturopathic medicine, which was the dominant medicine in the 1800s, until they came along with their hacksaws and said, let's drain the blood out of everybody, and that'll get rid of their disease, or let's cut off the limbs, that'll get rid of their disease, or let's poison them so bad, and if they live through it, they're going to make it big. That's their medicine. It's called allopathic medicine, and they've never changed from it. So Rockefeller invested in huge machinery and buildings with Andrew Carnegie, and they, backed by the Vatican, they formed the AMA, and they were making fortunes. But do you know that John D. Rockefeller never, ever went to any of those doctors to get treated? He only used homeopathic and naturopathic medicine, period, kaput. I studied at the International Institute of Oxygen Therapies.
Wow. Hey,
and
Edward, listen, you got about 90 seconds, and I got to move on, but I tell you, that is some tremendous information. I'm going to get you back on as soon as you, when you feel like coming back on, you're welcome on, and we'll give you as much time as you want. Go right ahead. You got about 90 seconds. Say whatever you want, and I got to go into my TI time. Go right ahead.
Sure. I help TIs also. I actually get rid of the heavy metals out of their body so the frequency that they're using on them doesn't work. If you call me, I'll show you how to reverse all your disease and return your body to normal homeostasis. Give me a call. I don't care what's wrong with you. We'll discuss it, and I'll show you how simple it is for you to return your body to normal homeostasis and make yourself young again. You can take people that are ready to die, and let's reverse them. That's what my friends do, 91% success rate on stage 4 cancer patients. The rest of them went home to smoke, drink, and do whatever they were doing before, and they can't be saved. Call me at 818-613-9206. 818-613-9206. I'll invite you on some other radio shows. We have our own radio shows, and you can listen to some great men that will teach you things that will blow your mind.
All right. Edward, thank you so much. I tell you, you are tremendous. And, hey, we're going to have to talk. And I really, really appreciate you.
You give me a call at your convenience, and I won't talk so fast. I just tried to cram in a lot real quickly and give an overview of some of the things I might be able to help people with, okay?
Sounds good, Edward. You have a great day. Just listen in, and we'll talk to you soon. On that note, it's TI time. But I want to, before we go to our TI time, I want to talk about what's happening here in the state of Michigan. Here in Michigan, women have to take out rape insurance now. Have you ever heard of rape insurance? Well, the government is raping us. Maybe this might be a way for us to get some money from the government, because he's raping us without a kiss. We're being raped on all labor. The corporations, they're raping us. Fast foods, they're raping us. The hospitals, they're raping us. Everybody is raping the people. So now in Michigan, you can take out rape insurance. Have you ever heard of that before? Ladies, if you don't stand up and fight that, you won't fight for anything. You need to fight that. You need to stand up and let these people know that you're serious and you're willing to stand up and fight. But on that note, I got to bring in my good friend Ken, a true soldier, a warrior, the John Brown of the modern day things that's happening, my T.I. buddy, Ken. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you a lot for that introduction.
Absolutely.
On my way back. I got to tell you, I'm on my way back to New Jersey. We had a TI meeting where we had 25 people show up.
Very
good.
Guess
what? Over 50% of them are black single women. Now, they'll wake up people what they're trying to do here in this country. I'm not saying that I'm a white person and they done it to me, and they're other whites, there's Mexicans, there's Chinese, all of them. But It's just terrible. But most of the TIs, and I want to give them some advice tonight, they want to tell their story. Your story really doesn't matter. You need to get out, make you up a one-page form, get it typed out, and you pass out in your neighborhood talking about this ALS. You talk about, you probably heard about the guy on that was doing the sign language for Obama. Did you hear that one?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Hearing voices in his head. They're getting wild with this technology now, and you know, and people need to say, you know, when your family member comes to you and says they're dead, you don't put them in an institution and start shooting them up with drugs. And the TIs need to do that and pass down and say, we're warning you, this is going on in your country, in America. And then you're going to be handing them a lot of these people that think it's all right to take somebody else's rights away as you're passing these out. That's my thing on that. And I'm
but
just
you know,
wondering.
Ken, that's some good stuff, though. People need to understand it's so, so important for you to get your word out. You got to get your propaganda out, too. Let people know what's going on. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. It's too late to be afraid.
Absolutely.
So
now,
what we need
me,
to do, we need to get out there and keep spreading the word, letting people know. Matter of fact, we have dedicated a whole chapter, but some of my new book that just came out, we're getting it published now. We talked about the TIs. I think the TIs need to be talked about. Target individuals. I just got back from New York. All these things, Rhode Island and all these places I just got back from, you always have to talk about TIs because it also encourages other people to understand that there's a problem here in these United States and we need to stand together and fight it.
Absolutely. You know, I'm wondering what – when the American people finally, and this is going to come out on them, I can guarantee you they're running crazy to the finish line here. They're running naked trying to get this all in. I will be calling your guest that just got off. I can guarantee you on that one. But what will the American people say when they find out that we're all under mind control and they're using this on everybody? They stole your houses. They're stealing your cars. They stole your jobs. What will the American people say? From what I can see, they won't say much. They'll just follow Obama and George Bush, Dick Cheney. They're not elected. They're selected to run this country. And what's the American people going to do when they find out? Are they just going to follow Obama to the FEMA camps to get the guillotines to cut their heads off? I think they will. There's going to be a lot of them like that because they ain't going to be able to handle it to figure out that their own mind has been hacked. And people say, oh, no, they can't get to my mind. Well, yes, they can. They're doing it right today, and they've been doing it.
Absolutely. You are 100% right, Ken. And now they got you. You got to buy rape insurance now. Who ever heard of such nonsense?
They're getting ridiculous.
But
and,
we're
and
letting them. Ken, we're allowing them to do this. People just don't speak up.
Exactly.
Unless it affects.
The amount of tyranny we'll live under is what we let them do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing plenty of it. I mean, everything I've heard on your show tonight has been, it fits right in with TIs. Guys in jail because they couldn't pay their bill because the government wouldn't pay them. Well, if they don't do that, they come after them with the IRS. They come after them with anything. They just charge you and put you in jail, and now you got to get out. I mean, we got such a corrupt system, and it's unbelievable.
Absolutely, but the people don't want to talk about this system. Nobody wants to stand up and say what's wrong with this system. Nobody wants to say if everything is going, if you got a job, you got a house, you got a car, whatever happened to your neighbor who's starving to death doesn't mean nothing to you. It doesn't mean nothing if they take him to jail. It doesn't mean nothing if he's being microwaved. It doesn't mean nothing if them cantrails is affecting this man or they're controlling to the person that got a job. That's how they keep everybody divided, split it up. And this is what's happening, Ken. This is what's happening. Well, we have to stand together. I always say this, it's more of us than them, so let's fight together and beat these people. We can beat them.
Listen to this, Reverend Pinkney. A black lady told me that she got a divorce from her husband. Her brother is a policeman, and he beat her up. I mean, her husband, before she divorced, he beat her up. And her own brother asked her, well, what the hell did you do to him?
Right.
You must have did something bad. That's like you're going down the sidewalk and some woman and a guy rapes her, and everybody says, oh, you must have been asking for it.
Absolutely. And did you have rape insurance?
Yeah, and Americans, they're so dumbed down that they actually believe that if a woman's going down the sidewalk, she gets raped, that she must have done something asking for that.
But absolutely.
What they don't realize, with this mind control, they may mind control some idiot, the raper, and he does it. There's a lot of this stuff going on, and people don't understand it. They better start understanding it.
Absolutely. But you know what? We got one job. Our job is to educate these people. And what they do with that information is on them. We have to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do. And you know, that's part of my job. My job is to go all over this country telling people, and once I tell you, what you do with that information is on you. I want you to understand. I want you to join. I want you to be part of what we're doing, but you cannot be part of what we're doing until you understand what's going on. We need everybody. I don't care what your issue is. If you're in jail, you need to be part of what we're doing, and we need to be part of what you're doing. If something
exactly.
that happens to your brother, we need to be part of that, and you need to be part of what we're doing. We have to make sure that it's more of us than them. Stop letting them divide us up. If you being microwave and you need help, we need to be part of what you're doing, and you need to be part of what we're doing, which is even more important. You just can't sit there and say, well, they're doing this to me and do nothing, because that's
right.
what they want you to do.
Exactly. They want you. They set people up. I was riding the TI. Look at this car. Look at that car. You know, forget all that. That's what they want you doing. They feed into that. You've got to go and try to live your. I know being a TI, living your life is tough. I'll tell you that right now. I've got a 2010 car. I went over 100,000 miles just on this trip. I'm on my way back to Michigan right now. So I get out and I do my part, and I tell these people, you can't worry about. They say, why do you put that on your car? They don't bother you because you got that all over your car. I don't care what they do.
That's right.
They're going to do what they're going to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
You got to quit being a coward. You are 100% correct, Ken, because you can't stop them from doing what they're doing, but you can do what you're doing. Don't let them intimidate you.
Right, and one person, and you can't solve all these problems by yourself. I can't solve them all. We got to have help doing it.
Absolutely. Ken, I got to bring on Gloria. I got to leave you, but I really appreciate you. Stay focused. Don't get sidetracked. And let's win this battle.
Thank you, Reverend Pinkney. You
have
a great
day. All right, Ken. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How are you doing today?
You know, Reverend Pinkney, I'm doing well. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm a targeted individual, and I take care of my body. I take care of what I put in it, and, you know, I just realized the other day my navel is missing.
No.
It's like, so I guess they're doing some type of surgery or something at night. But I'm leaving it all to the Creator, and I keep it moving. I want to let Roz know to go to rvbey.com, and she will find Myth of the Mortgages, and it will tell her how she can fill out her own paperwork and handle this, her foreclosure, because that is against the law. Or she can also get in touch with NACA, N-A-C-A, that's through the federal government. But rvbey.com will give you a lot of information about this mortgage myth. I'm a little hoarse because I was attending the party with Mr. Rhodes and the rest of the East Coast gang last night. We were over in Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a great time. It's good getting together with everyone and sharing information. But, Reverend Pinkney, this country has been hijacked. And we, as a TI, we know things when they're happening. We know what's going on. Now, what I'm going to read about today is violent sign language interpreters' access to Obama sparks concern. The vesting of a sign language interpreter who got within 3 feet of world leaders, including President Barack Obama, during Nelson Mandela's memorial, was being investigated Thursday after organizers admitted they were unaware of his violent history of schizophrenic episodes. Now, this gentleman is 34 years old, and he was accused of gesturing gibberish to the people that are hearing impaired. And so the members of the deaf community said the movements did not resemble or they didn't recognize any of the sign language, and some groups accused him of being a fake. Well, as it turns out, this gentleman said he was one of the best. He was used for this. They paid him $85 for this job. What happened to him, he said the screaming got so loud in his head, he started getting confused. He didn't know whether to run off the stage. He knew he was in a very poor position because if he had acted out any other way, they might have shot him or anything. So, and in the process of this going on in his head, then he started seeing angels. Well, those are holograms they were showing him. And this, to me, this is just my personal opinion. This was the global elite letting us all know, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, we'll be there, and we can do this to you.
And we can get you anywhere.
We can get you anywhere, anytime. I mean, with all of the NSA surveillance, the worldwide surveillance, how did this guy slip through the cracks? Now, all of a sudden, he became, he spoke, he gave an interview and said he's one of the best. That's what he does. He signs. That's his business. But now, all of a sudden, he's schizophrenic. They're going to keep saying schizophrenic until it's going to be overdone and people are going to start to pick up on it. So there is nothing wrong with that gentleman other than they tapped into his brain and started working it the way they wanted to. So we all have to start paying attention. And Reverend Pinckney, we need some feedback. Are they understanding what we're saying when we talk about this?
Oh, absolutely. At first they didn't, but now people begin to understand. They know that it exists now. At first they were concerned about it, but now people understand that this is reality that we're talking. You're getting a lot of people are really, really behind us now that wasn't behind us at first.
Okay. All right. Because
I'm telling you, they're really, really behind us now. And a lot of them have joined in with us to help support this. Remember,
that's awesome.
Absolutely. And I think that getting the word out like this, it has been magnificent. And I'm telling you, people are beginning to listen.
Yes, they do. And my hat goes off to Ken Rhodes. When I got to the party last night, the table was filled with DVDs. Help yourself. Hand them out. So every day I take a few DVDs along with me. I might stop at a gas station. I might stop at the grocery store, anywhere. And if I have an opportunity to get close enough to someone, I might hear them complain about how much their grocery bill is. And then I just pull out a DVD and I say, well, if you check this out, you'll see how much higher it's going to go. And they look at it and they take it. They take them. So people know there is something wrong, but we must also tune them into these towers. Go to stopthecrime.net, and there's an antenna search. You can go to antennasearch.com and put your address in, and it will tell you how many antennas are around you. Then you can start putting the pieces of the puzzle together. You notice how the children don't play up and down the streets anymore. Your streets are barren most of the time because they're using this energy, the electronics, They're using that not to dumb us down, but to bring us down physically, where you don't feel like running and ripping and playing. You just do what you have to do and eat and go to bed. So we have to start paying attention to all the towers. As you ride around sometimes, you look up, and you'll see in a small area of a city, you might count 7 or 8 towers. And you can imagine what that does to the people when these subliminal messages are being sent out on a regular basis. So we're going to have to really, I'd like people to, if they wish, they can call in on Wednesday. We have something called TI Talk. And if they have any questions about it, they can call 218-632-0460, and the PIN number is 726-476-87#. And we will give them the information that they need to web pages to look up, and so they can understand what's really going on. And now they can be a voice to the voiceless and be
all
a voice.
Right.
To
very good, Gloria. And people need to listen in, so they need to know. Because whether they like it or not, it's happening.
Oh, it's happening.
Oh, it's
happening
whether they like it or not. People might be a target individual and don't even know they're a target individual because they don't know the symptoms. So we know how that is.
No.
Listen, Gloria, I got to move on. I really, really appreciate you. I got to bring on Dorothy. And we do have a very high volume of callers this morning, or I should say this evening. And but I want to get as many people in as possible. Those who I don't get in, you need to call me so I'll know your phone number when you call in, because we have too many people to let everybody talk. I can go down the line, but we need to know who's calling and what people are going to say. On that note, I got to leave you and bring on my good friend Dorothy. God bless you, and I'm going to wish you a Merry Christmas just in case for some reason you don't come on next week. Merry Christmas to you. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes. How are you, Reverend Pinckney?
I'm great, Dorothy. How are you feeling today?
I'm okay. Hey, I want to share some interesting information. And this actually, many of your listeners may know that the Pope Francis, recently was named Man of the Year on Time Magazine. And in Rome, he did it at the Apostolic Palace on 11 July 2013, as the Pope, he put out a letter. And this letter is the Apostolic letter of the Supreme Pontiff Francis. So I would suggest everybody go out and look at it, because it says, in our times, the common good is increasingly threatened by transnational organized crime. The improper use of the markets and the economy, as well as by terrorism. So, again, for many of us, and I mean, the letter goes on and it begins to enumerate the various abuses and things going on, and he's saying the Holy See has consistently maintained that such agreements are effective means to prevent criminal activities. He's talking about acts that the Vatican is moving to be involved in to prevent criminal activities that threaten human dignity and the common good and peace. So, numerous of us are moving to see about putting together a letter, because if the Pope, who also is more than aware of the human sexual pedophilia to human sexual slavery of Catholics, over the decades, hundreds of thousands of decent, good men and women, that includes even into our military, is willing to speak truth to papal power, then maybe it's time for us also to see if he's willing to, A, show us the money and show us the action. And so if anybody would like to join me, we're going to put together a letter and we're going to submit it to the Pope. You do not have to be a Catholic, because for anyone who might know, and the gentleman before mentioned the papacy, that there is also a guy by the name John Eric Phelps, who has written the books All Roads Lead to Rome, and it deals with the history up to recent times of the interconnectivity of the Catholic Church in the organized criminal systems. Again, please know that when I'm speaking, I am not talking about the good and decent people. I am talking about those who are criminally involved or who have been bought off, sold off, or threatened into intimidation to brutalize other people. There are always good and decent people that either are being victimized or are absolutely unaware and naive and what many call you're unawake. So I think it's time to even begin moving in that direction and see if we can get some movement as well as some funds to support our organization from the Roman Catholic Church. The other aspect is that I've been reviewing a great deal of information as well. And one comment on the rape insurance. I find it most intriguing because I watched some of the debate on that they were really talking about the fact of the abortion issue, and they're bringing up rape. Well, given the fact that across this country, too many men and women have been, and even youngsters, have been increasingly raped in this country, and yet law enforcement keeps saying, show us that you were raped, or denying that you have been raped because of the organized criminals that are doing this inside, outside our military. And the fact of the matter is with that is that I think it's really time for us to have those organized criminals who have sat within our governments to pay the insurance, because they have denied us the right to hold accountable, according to the face of the law for rape laws, that they should be paying the insurance. We should not have to pay those insurance. In fact, in talking to Michael Matthews, who have been on your show, he is involved in the movie Justice Denied, which features, to our chagrin and horror, the horrific rapes of men in our military that has been silenced again for decades. He had the opportunity to talk to U.S. Senator Gildebrand, in which he was speaking about the men in the rape, the military men being raped. She's going to begin talking about it. He would bring up my case to her as far as sexual slavery and how brutal it is, and she made it very clear that they're aware of the human sexual slavery that was going on in the military. Another congressman who told a vet to her face that, and I suspect based on his comments, that he was less aware of the sheer depth and breadth of this entire criminal situation. He said to this veteran that, yes, they're aware of the abuse of men and women in the military, of the rapes, but if the government acknowledges to the level at which it is happening that the government could not afford counseling for these victims. Now, I'm going to take a breath, and I'm going to say that's interesting because given the fact that for 20 years I was systematically brutalized and re-abused over and over and over again by having my houses broken into since when I was in the military in Germany, being raped, tortured, and broken down through ritual torture and abuse, that the VA, Veterans Administration, for 20 years has spent enormous amounts of money, and yet to brutalize, to break me down, and to have these groups who tried to provoke me out of fear and terrorizing me, as the Pope has acknowledged in his letter, through domestic terrorism, to try to help provoke me to harm somebody who was running for public office, which I will never do. They tried to provoke me to harm myself over the years using a great deal of this technology, which I wouldn't do. And that was all to get rid of me as a person of evidence as to the human sexual slavery and torture that would be used and abused good and decent people from in our government, from our basic city, states, and communities. And then they wanted, and please know that the type of abuse they used, this was the type of abuse that they would use in Abu Ghraib. It was the same stuff that they were doing to the victims of Abu Ghraib, except they weren't allowed to leave marks on us. They weren't allowed to kill a lot of us, not on my base. It was a no-mark base. But on other bases, there have been good and decent people who have been murdered, such as Lavina Johnson, where they, in fact, set her up after they brutalized her, left a Bible, King James Bible, next to her head with a crucifix in it, rosary, and that was an indication of ritual torture and abuse. These are who these people are. Then they would try to get rid of all of the evidence, saying that it was a suicide in which the government, practicing their version, these criminals are practicing their version of a religion, and their religion, hear what I'm saying, their religion believes in not only animal sacrifice, but human sacrifice as their practices. And they consider any of us that are dying or even being provoked to harm another in what they tried to do to me as a sacrifice. Again, it is time to get together. It is time for us to move together as a group of wise individual people to help, A, safeguard, protect, get stable, anyone that you know, because we can come back down to reason and logic and humanity. It is time for us to work not in violence, not in any kind of overtaking, but to overcome their garbage. So, Reverend Pinckney, with your permission, if somebody would like to get a hold of me, my name is Dorothy Mackey. I was an honorably serving captain and commander in the United States military by the name of Dorothy Triplett. I have two master's degrees. I'm an ordained minister. And this is pedophilia to human sexual slavery with the intention of using good and decent military people and others to cause horrific crimes across this country and anywhere else we are, and we will not participate. I refuse. I have unplugged from that, and I will not participate. Wow. If anybody needs some help, please feel free to get a hold of Reverend Pinckney, and I'll assist you to the best of my ability. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you so much, Dorothy. You did a tremendous job, and I will definitely be in touch, and we're going to have people calling you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Merry Christmas to you.
You as well.
All right. Now I've got Elvira. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing today?
I'm hanging in there.
I got your email. You were telling me about you were having some kind of difficulty. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes.
Because I still got Terry and I still got Ross to come on, but I want to make sure that I get a chance to, so you get a chance to air some of your issues out. And those of you out there who want to be on the show, you must call me at 269-925-0001. That's 269-925-0001. Elvira, talk to me.
Yes. Okay, well, I'm a human rights activist. I'm from Florida. I've done, at least I have about 15 things under my belt, including anti-war, the poor, toxic waste, toxic mold. My list goes on, the voting, everything. Well, what that caused me was they wanted me to stop protesting. And I had an apartment called the Tennis Club 2. That's where the mold, they had a mold clean up there. And at the same time, they were building another building called the Venice Cove. The president of the NAACP was working with me, supposedly, on there. Anyway, long story short, I ended up homeless on the streets. And my credit, falsified information on my credit. And then I went in the hospital with an asthma attack. where they held me and they injected me with a toxin. And after they to me, they put me in the mental hospital so people would think I'm crazy and not believe what actually happened to me. And I've been to several different states, and I'm targeted by social workers and doctors, and I'm having internal bleeding, and I need somebody not to hear what I say, but to come and see with your own eyes what happened if I go to a social worker and to a doctor. I would like for someone to witness it. And thank you for listening, and thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
Elvira, thank you so much. And those who are out there who can help you, would you want to give out your phone number or something?
My number is 561-302-8872. 561-302-8872, and that's Elvira. Thank you.
And she lives in Florida. So those of you who are out there who live in Florida and you want to help, because we have to learn to help each other, please give her a call. Talk to her. Understand her issues. And let's see what we can do to help her. On that note, Merry Christmas to you, Elvira, and we will
you
talk
too.
To you soon, and take care of yourself.
Thank you, I will.
All right.
Sure.
Now I want to bring on my good friend, Roz. It's back to you, Roz.
I'm back, and I'm so blessed.
Absolutely, absolutely. Roz, I just want to say that, you know, the young man, Edward, said that he's willing to help you. He's willing to take this thing to a whole different level. I don't know. Let's see what he can do. You know him personally, I believe, do you?
No, I've talked to him and I called him back, but he didn't return my phone call. I presume he's very busy with other people calling, but I'll call him this week.
Yeah,
I was having
a
hard time.
I definitely don't want you to lose that very, very nice home you have. I'm looking forward
right.
to come there, and me and my wife, when we come, we're going to probably end up staying with you, so at least for a couple of days, I'm looking forward to it, so don't lose that house.
Right. I'm looking forward to you coming to be my guest. I'd be honored. It's a privilege to have somebody come who cares about me and so many other people across America, and that God has really anointed you with this beautiful heart. You know, we all have a choice in life with what we go through. We can either be angry and turn on other people, or we can take what we have and we can use it as a gift for others of healing and compassion and caring, and that's what you've done for so many. And I thank you. I thank the Lord for you.
Hey, I appreciate you. You don't get too many of those around here, but I appreciate that, Roz.
Well, thank you. I thank the Lord. This is the most unbelievable thing. As many of you know, I was a teacher for LAUSD, but I also started Bible clubs in all the schools wherever I taught, and I was the advisor. And in the last school, I had 250 children, and then I was sprayed in my face with the toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. But as the Lord would have it, Somehow I saw Reverend Pinckney on TV at an LAUSD board meeting, and the next thing I know is 2 years ago I'm on your show, and now I get to tell people how wonderful the Lord is, and look at how he turned this around. I still have health issues, but I get to say how wonderful God is. I mean, you have really stood with me and supported me and what I'm going through, and that I'm not the only one, because Charles Smith died, where we have Los Angeles Unified School District that must have the fire extinguishers out so they're not secured. The students can just pick them up and spray anybody they want. How much would it have cost Los Angeles Unified School District to secure them, put them out of sight and out of reach of the students? Then LAUSD is given money from the state of California to allot this money for any injured teachers to go by the laws of the state to cure or alleviate the teacher's condition. But LAUSD, under Don Watkins' office, decided to take the money and redirect it into other funds. There is so much waste, fraud, and abuse going on, so she gives a talk at the board meeting how she has given $105 plus million and redirected it. Well, I wasn't paid mileage and parking, which is a 30 to 45-day turnaround time. How much could that money be? $10, $15, $20 for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years. I'm not paid the money I'm owed correctly. And they played with the numbers on the checks. They played with the spreadsheets with how I was paid. Anything that they can do to you. And then they paid Dr. John Stahlberg $16,700 for a bogus report. I know in life that I am not the only teacher this is happening to. And then on top of it, because I have a very big case, there's Judge Gerald Cohn who made a medical diagnosis and changed all the facts in my case. There's about 40,000 LAUSD teachers who paid dues to UTLA, United Teachers Los Angeles. They paid the dues so the union can stand up for them. All of a sudden, there's an election, so the president, who's never really done anything, Warren Fletcher, is now speaking out about the teachers that are in the teacher jails, mostly older, on trumped-up charges because they make more money. This is disgusting. Every school should talk about what the safety issues in the school, what's going on. The teachers need to be united at every school. They pay dues to be supported, to have the union stand up for them. UTLA is in bed with LAUSD. No one is standing up for the teachers in Los Angeles Unified School District. Nobody seems to know these stories. These stories, these atrocities, these horrific injustices going on need to be told to the teachers, all of them, so they know, and to the public. This is what the California taxpayers' money is paying for, to destroy the health and life of teachers at Los Angeles Unified School District. And I thank you.
Let me say this to you, Roz. If those teachers that are in jail, well, they're in jail for picketing or what?
No, they are in, like, buildings where they're, like, in a little cubicle. I've never been in one, so I don't know. I was only injured. But they go every day. They do nothing, and they're just watched, and they're paid. They're there because a parent didn't like them, a student didn't like them, the administrator didn't like them. That's the only reason they're there.
Mm. And I know you talked about Warren Fletcher. He's the head of the union, and we know that he's working with the school board against the teachers. It's so many teachers. I don't see how the teachers could stand for it. Even when I was there, the first thing that came out of my mouth was to recall those board members, and I think that's what the TV and everybody else, they never heard people talk like that on that level when I was there. But it's more important that the people come together and stand together and fight this monster. If the people stand up, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through right now.
Exactly. As soon as this happened, the school board of the UTLA, because I mentioned it and I filled out all the paperwork for an act of violence, that meant I had physical injuries, which 2 years later they awarded me and admitted that I was physically injured from being sprayed in my face from the toxic chemicals based on Dr. Salig's medical report. And it was only years later that they started doing all these terrible things to me. But Charles Smith didn't have an act of violence. Somebody should have stepped in there and said he needed one. The schools need to be unified together. But there's all this backbiting from the administrators and the teachers telling on other teachers. I've never seen anything like it. No wonder nothing is accomplished. But I don't want people on the teacher's case. The teachers are going through hell. And the teachers need, you know, a big kick and you know where to start standing up and speaking up. Because in a moment, if they get injured, they're going to go through what I am. If all of a sudden somebody doesn't like them, they're going to be in the teacher jail, sitting there for years, having their the judicial ethics will not be coming into their case. The rules, the laws will not be applied to them. And this is a school district run by, it looks like LAUSD, DZ and the board and all their other personnel, like a bunch of gangsters.
You know, when I was there, they acted like a bunch of gangsters. The way they handled the meeting, the way the security was set up, even Fletcher. Fletcher was the biggest phony I have ever met. That's why when we went to his office, David and myself, David Garcia, and we gave it to him. We gave it to him like he never had it before because he never saw teachers rising up and attacking him, telling him that he's a phony. Then he tried to act like he was with us the day we went to the school board meeting, and we knew all along he wasn't, but he had to act that way because there were so many teachers that was in support of us.
Right, and all of a sudden they're starting to stand up and protest against the teacher jails, finally the teachers. So he's finally said something. Do you smell an election coming up?
Oh,
they only do something. Right.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And he can be defeated. That's the best part.
Right, he can, but you need a candidate who can't be bought off with from LAUSD or, you know, or gets himself in bed with LAUSD. We all need candidates that will stand up for the teachers. Save schools, fire extinguishers out of view, not putting children in hazardous materials for months like my students. 180 of my students sat in toxic chemicals for months because my principal, Mrs. Charnas, refused to call the paramedics and she refused to call hazmat to get my room properly cleaned up. Have you ever heard of anything like that? Just leave everybody in toxic chemicals and whatever happens, happens?
Never heard of it.
No, this is sick. And I'm certain across America you'll hear the story repeated because teachers really are... They're there to teach. They're educators. They're passive people. They're
Absolutely.
Not activists. They want to just tell in their students' knowledge. And when the students get something, when I used to see my students' eyes light up and I knew they got it, it's so exciting. It's a gift.
Absolutely.
Just watch the students. So they're going to have to stand up.
And
they
we're going to have to make them stand up. They're not going to stand up on their own. We have to make them stand up.
Right, but every school in LAUSD, they have an area rep, or a rep for that school, I think. So they have to get the teachers together and say, this is what it is. If they have safety issues, they have to start complaining until they're immediately fixed. They have custodians. Let me tell you, LAUSD has billions of dollars to do whatever sweet deals they want, like iPads, what happens to construction. What happens to cleaning up the schools? Oh, they're only into sweet deals. Probably kickbacks, I'd say. I'll go out on a limb and say kickbacks. Their fingers are in the pie, and they're stuck in the pie. And it's time that taxpayers, that's our money, and I'm tired of killing myself with my money, denying me the proper doctors, not paying me since 2009, which, by the grace of God, I'm still in the house, but that's God, and being able to speak up all the time about it. But every taxpayer needs to get off their butt and off their couch and say, I've had enough, we need to do something, and stop it.
Absolutely.
Because we've allowed all these corporations in with all their money. Because I never knew that a school had so much money.
Absolutely.
They're not accountable.
You got 45,000 teachers in L.A.
Right. You have all these teachers. You have all the students. But they're given all this money. And every time I ask, who is accountable at LAUSD or who gives them the money, who oversees it, nobody knows.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, listen, Rob, I got to let you go. I got to bring on Mary, but I want to wish you a merry, merry Christmas, and I want you to take care of yourself. And
okay,
we'll talk. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and may God and Santa just come over with the desires of their heart. And they've been a blessing to me, everybody, and I'm sending out hugs, love, and blessings to everybody.
All right. Now you can't ask for no more than that. Thank you so much. God bless you. I will talk to you soon.
Okay, love you all.
Love you too. Hey, now it's time for my good friend Mary. Mary from Atlanta, Georgia. Are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney, and what a wonderful show today. Wonderful because, not because of what we heard, but because we did hear it. And we heard it on the Reverend Pinkney Show. Because you don't censor people. You let them tell what's really going on as they perceive it. And I really appreciate you for doing that. It's been a really historic week. You know, they buried Mandela, I think it was today or yesterday.
Today.
And
today
I saw videos of his funeral, and it was really, they really memorialized him very well. We know that he was a better human rights worker than he was a president, but nevertheless, he was a man of peace and reconciliation, and he was buried, laid to rest sometime this weekend, I believe. And so we want to say to everybody who's hurting over him that he lived long and well, and he's gone now. And it is now for us, like Abraham Lincoln said on that Gettysburg Address, it is now time for the living to step up and do whatever your life is meant to be. Live your life to the fullest. And we know that in God's word, that means for us to do as Reverend Pinkney does, and that is let your light shine and encourage others to do likewise and stand up for one another. And so that's what I do as the Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. And I'm so grateful to Reverend Pinkney to be on his program on Sundays. We have a Reverend Pinkney Blog Talk Radio page on Facebook. If you ever miss a program, we know you can go to Blog Talk Radio show and hear it there at Blog Talk. But you can also go to the Reverend Pinkney Blog Talk Radio show page at Facebook and hear the messages that you may have missed. And also, I think that Reverend Pinkney has information there on that page that's from his Banco organization. Reverend Pinkney, you know, I heard that in Detroit, Michigan, they have busted up a body parts ring. Did you hear about that?
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? It's not just in Detroit. It was a major ring. They doing that all over the country. But that was just one thing that they have targeted. The city of Detroit, because they knew at this time that that's exactly what they was doing. Also, they here in Benton Harbor, matter of fact, in the state of Michigan, they've been doing that. They know that right now what they're doing now, they're dealing, they want body parts, and they want body parts of people who they can actually sell. That's one of the people that's worse than dope. You make more money off of body parts than you do drugs.
Well, Reverend Pinkney, let me ask you something. Where are these people getting the body parts? Are they digging up bodies or are they killing people?
No, you go in the hospital, you die from pneumonia, and then they start taking your organs out. Or, especially young people, that's who they're targeting. You get shot in the leg and die. You get shot somewhere. If you get shot in the heart, your brain's still good. They, you know, all they want is body parts. That's what they're doing. They've been, you know what? They've been doing it for years, but now people are just now talking about it. You see, that's how that works. You know, let me jump the page. You know, here in Michigan, you got to have rape insurance now. If a woman get raped, if she don't have rape insurance, there won't be a kick. There's nothing she can do. So, but we got to remember this: the government is raping everybody in the city. Matter of fact, in the country, the hospitals are raping everybody. You name it, they're raping people left and right. But now maybe we can get paid.
So when people get raped, the police department doesn't supply a rape kit or anything to go to the hospital for that rape.
That's what you
got to
have insurance for it now. Everything,
is
you got to have
right?
That's right. You got to have insurance. If you don't have rape insurance, these days the hospital is not obligated no more. So it's a financial thing once again. They're targeting women now. But the people in Detroit, I was up there yesterday, and we're talking about it. It's time that the people take a stand. You know, sometimes people won't stand up for anything. Maybe women will stand up for this rape stuff, you see.
Well, you know, that was a topic. That rape evidence and rape trials and what have you, that was a topic during the 2008 campaign. I remember that Senator McCain and Governor Palin were saying that they didn't think it was necessary to pay for rape
right.
for women. So in
Absolutely.
Other words, they were going to let rapists just walk the street because they weren't going to supply the police manpower and the medical examination or what have you to prove rape. So that was
essentially saying they said most
that
women
all American women could be raped and it was okay.
Well, you remember, according to the Republican Party, or some of the guys that they was talking about, they referred to women getting raped. They one guy said a female body automatically shut down during a rape. I don't know nothing about that, but that's what he was saying, which I myself have no knowledge in reference to it. But for the last maybe 5-6 days, all I've been hearing about is rape.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's all we've been hearing about is rape. You got to have rape insurance. You got to do this got rape or somebody got rape. That's all you hear about now is rape because I don't know how it actually came about, but this is what people are talking about. And I'm hoping that people understand the language more than anything else because a lot of times we do not understand the language, especially as African Americans, and that's why we are always the victim. So
you know,
suggestion,
I can see that. I can see that being used as a scam. We know how people scam insurance companies. I can see young black men going to jail in behind a woman crying rape only because she wrote the scam or insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that happening because we know that many people are in jail simply off the accusation of another party. No evidence, nothing. Just the accusation of another party, especially if the party who makes the accusation is a Caucasian. And I'm not prejudiced.
You know,
I'm not saying
they never should have passed this law in Michigan about rape insurance, period. That's a bad is a bad sign for women. It's a bad sign for men. It's a bad sign, period. It seems like to me it's another way for the rich insurance companies to get money. That's what I'm looking at.
It is. And that's what the government is all about, making money for the big companies, not because they get payoffs from the big companies. That's what everybody says, that these big companies pay them off. No, who do you think owns these companies? Who do you think are the shareholders of the insurance companies? The same people who are passing the laws are the owners, because when you're a shareholder, you're a part owner. So these people are not simply passing laws for the big companies because they are in their pocket. They represent the big companies because they're their own companies. We did have some good news out of New York, Reverend Pinckney.
That's it.
And that is that New York has they put forth legislation that will legalize marijuana. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of people in jail throughout this nation, and especially in New York because of the stop and frisk. They are in jail for possession of small amounts of marijuana. They made slaves of young black men wholesale over a little grass. I don't know why they didn't leave it alone, but they didn't leave it alone, and they end up in jail over small amounts of grass. As a matter of fact, in New York, they followed a 16-year-old into his house. You remember that last year, burst in while he was trying to flush his little marijuana in the commode and shot him to death in his own house. And so people have gotten killed over marijuana. People have lost years of their lives over possession of marijuana. And so now it appears that New York is getting ready to legalize marijuana. And not only that, but they are going to tax it too. So we know the main effort has always been to see how the government could make money on this substance. And once they could figure out a way to make money on it, we expected it to be legalized because, as they admitted, these legislators who are putting up that bill, they admitted that marijuana isn't as dangerous as alcohol. And yet alcohol is legal and marijuana is used as an excuse to put young people in jail wholesale. So if New York does pass this legislation, New York being more or less the example for the nation on how to dress and what way to conduct themselves, the rest of the nation may fall as well regarding their anti-marijuana laws. And so that is good news for families. It's good news for young people who do like that substance. And so I hope they do legalize it.
All right. Listen, we're just about out of time, but you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want, and we are going to tell everybody how wonderful things are, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Go right ahead. You got 60 seconds.
Well, thank you, Reverend Pinckney, and I wish you and your lovely wife, Dorothy, a Merry Christmas. And I see her on Facebook now. I made her a friend. And it's just wonderful to have this opportunity to meet with you on Sundays and to meet with the public and remind them of the work that you're doing, the work that Banco Organization is doing. And, you know, I've been telling people lately that, you know, you don't have to wonder what to get your loved one for Christmas who seems to have it all. You could make a donation to organizations that help stand for liberty and justice for all, and just slip the receipt into a card for your loved one and say, I know how much you care about human rights. I know how much you care about the things that happen to black people, red people, yellow people, brown people. I know you believe in liberty and justice, so I donated to Banco Organization. I donated $30 in your name, and you have a membership now, and here it is. That would be so responsible, and it would be such a nice gift, better than another tie, better than another sweater, or another neck scarf that they won't even use. So make a donation to Banco Organization in your loved one's name, and just slip that in the card. Let them know you did it. And here's their membership to Banco. Is it still $30, Reverend?
Absolutely.
Well, give the address so that some people can do that.
All right. Let me give the address, and I just want to say goodnight to you also. But listen, you can send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O. That's 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O. 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And on that note, I'm going to wish everybody a Merry, Merry Christmas. And I am happy to say that we will be back next week, same time, same station. See you all soon. God bless you. Mary, take care of yourself. And God bless you. And a special Merry Christmas to you all next week.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye, everybody. God bless you.
The world won't get no better. Thank you.